Spring may be as much a state of mind as it is a destination on the calendar, but for all of us, it has different heralds. Technically, the vernal equinox occurred on March 20th, Wednesday, at 2:16 in the afternoon, but as the season makes its presence known slowly in small moments of greeting around the country, we thought we'd take a tour and find out just how spring has come calling. First to Maine. Barbara Damrosch is a farmer who writes about gardening, and she joins us from Cape Rosier, Maine. Barbara, have you seen any signs of spring?
Yes, the mud.
Mud? I was afraid it was so dry there it'd be dust this spring.
Oh, no, it's soggy. We have mud during the midwinter thaws, too, but spring mud is different because the ground isn't frozen under it, so it's deep mud. It's luscious chocolate sauce mud.
You're perhaps the first person I've ever talked to who enjoyed mud.
Well, I love mud. It's alive. I mean, it gets up and follows you into the house, or it goes up into the car with you. You know, it means the earth is waking up, and the worms are waking up, and the wonderful soil microbes are all waking up.
Now, as we mentioned, you're a farmer, you write about gardening, so it means something tactile to you. What are you seeing in your vegetable gardens?
Well, of course, the home vegetable garden is under some snow right now, which kind of comes and goes at this time of year. But in our unheated greenhouses, we have lots of things growing that like cool weather. We have salad crops and some root crops like baby turnips and radishes and things like that. And you start to notice spring with plants long before the temperature might warrant them to, you know, really be spring-like if they're protected like that. I mean, you might notice it with the herbs on your windowsill, for instance. It's when the day length gets to be about 10 hours that you start to see some growth, because that makes a big difference to plants, the light. I mean, it probably makes a difference to you and me as well.
Well, Barbara, thank you very, very much for speaking with us.
Thank you. Happy spring.
Chicago, the windy city, has emerged from the dark of winter, well, in a manner of speaking anyway. Bill Berger is a retired curator in the Department of Botany at the Field Museum of Natural History in Chicago. Mr. Berger, I used to live in Chicago for many, many years, and spring usually came somewhere about the 4th of July, as I recall.
Well, middle April is a little closer to it, but here we are in mid-March, expecting and hoping that it'll show up early. And apparently it is showing up a little earlier than in years past.
How can you tell?
Well, some things are flowering earlier than they used to do. We were out in the swampy woods not long ago, and the skunk cabbage was flowering. And I believe that's 2 or 3 weeks ahead of normal.
Now tell us how the skunk cabbage is the first plant of spring, and why such an unlovely name for a plant would be the harbinger.
Well, the reason they're called skunk cabbages, they have nice big green leaves that grow in swampy places. But if you take that leaf and break it, it has a very unpleasant odor. But an interesting aspect is it gives off a little bit of heat. And so these things can actually come up through ice. It's one of our first flowering plants.
You said spring was a little bit early there this year. What other signs are you seeing?
Well, the birds have been flying around a little more than they do at this time. I heard that a pair of robins actually built a nest and laid some eggs in one place. And, of course, then along came some nasty weather, and they lost that clutch of eggs. The birds, of course, operate from the day length. And as soon as the days begin growing a little longer, they start singing. Now there's cardinals and others that are singing quite vociferously.
You know, as an urbanite who lived in Chicago, you know what my first sign of spring there would be?
What's that?
When I could take off my gloves.
Oh, honey.
Mr. Berger, thank you very much.
Righto. Bye-bye.
Finally, we turn to the Sonoran Desert in Arizona. We're joined by Columbia University Assistant Professor Tony Burgess from Columbia's Biosphere 2 campus outside of Tucson, Arizona. How are you doing, Professor Burgess?
Terrific. How are you?
I'm well. Now, I know that people in your part of the world wait for this season to see desert wildflowers. Has it been a good spring for desert wildflowers?
No, I'm afraid it's been a terrible spring so far. Last spring at this time, the south-facing slopes where I sit were all gold with Arizona poppies. This spring, I have seen a total of 5 plants, all in full bloom, but you wouldn't pick them out unless you were down on your hands and knees. So we're having what we might call a subtle, understated spring.
You said you hadn't gotten much rain. It sounds like drought.
It is drought, but you have to remember that the kind of spring that we get wall-to-wall color from poppies and lupins and stuff really only happens about once or twice a decade. A problem with those wet springs is when we get them, it also builds up the fuel load and we get a lot of fires, which take out some of the desert plants. So I'm okay with having a more normal, prosaic, dry spring and looking a little bit harder for the little jewels that are blooming in crannies.
Do you have any other forms of desert life that you're on the lookout for now that it's spring?
Well, normally what I start looking out for is the sequence of the reptiles coming out, and what we've seen so far is the small lizards are already out hopping from rock to rock alongside the trails, and it means almost any day now I expect to see some of the larger rattlesnakes coming out, which of course is something to be aware of, because when the nights are still a little bit cool like they are now, they like to warm their bellies up on the pavement and on the warm paths. It's a sure sign of spring when you see your first rattlesnake.
Absolutely. You know, that's what we say around here. Well, thank you so much for talking with us.
Surely. You're welcome.
Tony Burgess, joining us from Columbia's Biosphere 2 campus outside of Tucson, Arizona.